All right, thank you, Pastor. Appreciate the opportunity to be here again tonight. And we had a wonderful time on Friday. It was a great banquet. College put on a tremendous banquet. Mrs. Bradford, prime rib was fabulous. And I didn't always get that all the time, or the preacher's budget, but that was good. And we brought our five of our young people down here to look at the college again. And it's good to be back to see some of our other folks that have been here in college for a year or two. And I got to hear and talk to many of them of late, been excited about it. And several of them were excited to see me. Timmy had called me the last couple weeks, a couple different times, and excited to see me. And I told him I couldn't wait to see him. And Brett actually sent me a couple texts. Appreciate that much. Brett Eshelman. Tommy, Kelly, my sister-in-law was telling me I was stopping in and out of the office quite a bit and excited about to see his pastor again. I was excited to hear that and heard he's doing well. Katie texted me a few times and excited to see his pastor, her pastor's wife there, excited about that. Rachel said the same thing. She called me a couple times, excited to see me and couldn't wait to see her pastor. And just before I came on Friday, I talked to Sarah Gilding's dad. And Sarah said that she wasn't maybe real excited to see me. And she was afraid I would get up behind a pulpit and embarrass her a little bit or something. And who could see me doing that knows me at all? Okay, thanks a lot. Sarah, go ahead and stand if you would, please. Just go ahead. Go ahead, Sarah. See how much training she's gotten here at Landmark Baptist College and submission and obedience and everything. And I wouldn't dare try to embarrass Sarah. Lord, really, in the last 9 years has truly, truly given me a pastor's heart. And I want nothing more than the best for every member of Heritage Baptist Church, our young people. And part of that is just trying to get them a spouse outside of salvation. That is the number one most important thing. Who can testify to that? Yeah. Sarah's in the midst of trying to find that special, special someone. She has not found him yet. I'm trying to help her out some. I think some of it may be because she's backwards a little bit. Maybe shy and hasn't got out in the open yet for people to really get to know Sarah a little bit. How many think you should get to know Sarah a little bit more tonight? A few of you do. Sarah came from the state of Michigan. She came down to our church about 6 years ago or so. She lives on North Henry Street, Crestline, Ohio. She's been down here the past year. She's looking for a man. Number one, she would say that is saved, right, Sarah? Saved? Yes, has to be saved. He needs to be a fundamental Baptist, right, Sarah? Fundamental Baptist. Good looking? Good looking, yeah. He has to root for the Ohio State University, right, Sarah? No. That's why she has not found that right one for her life yet. And I knew she'd say that. But no, I owe Sarah something later. I don't know what, but I love Sarah dearly. And tonight, I just thought I'd use that little jump-off point. I'm going to talk about the subject here of overcoming the odds. Now, after that introduction, how many think Sarah will, after being just glorified a little bit, will find that special someone for her life? Yeah, I'm helping her out now, so I'm all about the pastor's heart. Yeah, tonight I'm talking again about overcoming the odds. Overcoming the odds. I was warned not to talk about the Buckeyes, but I have to introduce my introduction here about a man. He was called the Buckeye Bullet. He was known as being the fastest human being alive. True story, 1936 Olympic Games in Munich, Germany. Adolf Hitler was in the stands. He was looking on. And Adolf Hitler was definitely against blacks. He said they were subhuman and so forth. And Adolf Hitler looked at Jesse Owens and did everything he could to prevent him from winning any gold medal. It came time for the long jump, and Jesse Owens took off. He was far behind the line, but the judges disqualified him and said that he jumped over the line, and actually he had not. They allowed him to jump a second time, and they threw the flag, and sure enough, second time around, they said he passed the line. He couldn't jump. Third time, you'd been totally disqualified and couldn't jump anymore. Before Jesse Owens, the Buckeye Bullet, jumped the third time, the German rival named Luz Long came over to Jesse and whispered something in his ear with Adolf Hitler looking on from the stands. He said, "Jesse, all you have to do is to qualify is jump 22 feet. You've been jumping 25 feet. He said, "Here is the line. Step behind this line and jump and you will qualify." Jesse Owens did that. Stood 3 feet behind. He jumped. They couldn't throw the flag. He qualified. He went on for the finals. And he set a world record, winning the gold medal 26 feet 6 inches. Went on to win another gold medal in 100, 200, and a 4x100. Won 4 gold medals in the 1936 Olympics. Luz Long afterwards came and they talked together. And after the Olympics, Jesse Owens was interviewed, the Buckeye Bullet. He was asked, "What do you think of Luz Long and everything that happened?" And he said, "I would have given all the gold in my medals for the friendship of Luz Long." Jesse Owens at that Olympic Games, the odds were against him, the lines were drawn, and he attempted a great feat, and he overcame the odds. Tonight, I don't know what every one of you are facing, obviously. Some of you are facing some financial struggles. Some of you may be facing some marital issues, maybe facing a hard time raising the children. It's a hard world to raise children in 2011. Satan and the world's coming at us at all angles. Marital relationships are breaking up at a 52% rate now, and that is actually a feat of overcoming the odds of a difficult marriage. Some of you may be having relationship struggles with family, with children, with friends. Others of you simply may be overcoming the odds of trying to find that significant others for your life. Some of you may be going through some stressful times, and they say one of the leading causes of cancer is stress. Well, how many tonight could say, "Preacher, I do have some sort of stress in my life. Let me see your hands." That's every one of us. It's easy to say, "Have no stress, have no stress," and we all have it. Stress is one of the leading causes of mental disorders. They say one out of every 4 people today have a mental disorder. Look at your pew. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Really, if you look at your pew, count 4 people, and you say they're all right, then you are the one that may have the problem there. Judges chapter number 3. Judges chapter number 3. This brings us to a man named Shamgar. Only 2 verses in the Bible we find of this man. Judges 3:31 and chapter 5 and verse number 6. Bible says here in verse number 31, "And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel." Judges is a book about chaos, a book of confusion, and over again you hear a phrase repeated, that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And the result here of every person doing that which is right in their own eyes was confusion and total chaos. It's kind of like if they felt right, then do it. And that's kind of a theme of a thought here for 2011 in the United States of America. If it feels good, right, feels right to do it, that's not necessarily true. It's whatever does the Bible say, that's what we are supposed to do. And they did that in this day, and it caused confusion. They had no standards, and standards are right, and separation is not a popular word, but it is needed, and it is necessary. In Judges here, we find that one day things were great, one day they were good, next day they weren't so good, and there were confusion. And the odds stacked up greatly against Shamgar. 600 men came, 600 to 1 odds. We find over here in chapter 5 in verse number 6, we find in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied and the travelers walked through byways. There was terror in the land, there was no fear. It looked like the enemy was in charge. That's kind of what it looks like today here in this world, in this country actually. It kind of looks like the enemy's in charge and they may take the victory, but we actually, as Bible believers, we've read the back of the book and we know that we are on the winning side, and we do come up as victors just as Shamgar did in the 600 to 1 odds. Tonight, just for the next just few minutes, I'm always short and sweet, and because of the lack of men that volunteered here, our time is even shorter. But Pastor Carter, first time I ever heard him preach, Starlight Baptist Church, Orlando, Florida, preached right before Dr. Jack Hiles, and he got up, and never forget, he says, "I won't preach long," and he said, like Liz Taylor, the late Liz Taylor, told her seventh husband, "I love you, but I won't keep you long." And that's what I'm going to do tonight. I'll be short and I'll be sweet. But three keys to victory in our Christian life, just like Shamgar had. Whatever you're overcoming tonight, trying to. Again, a hard marriage, financial difficulties. Ohio now gas is up to $4.15 a gallon. Economy's bad, jobs are tight, people are in turmoil financially, relationship-wise, marital-wise, maybe ministry-wise for your life. Whatever you're trying to overcome, whatever obstacle, like Shamgar, three keys to victory. Number one, Shamgar started where he was at. Shamgar started where he was at. Tonight, maybe the finances are tight. You got 3 and 4 credit cards to pay off. You can't pay off the second credit card till you pay off the first. Maybe tonight you're just trying to, you want to get in shape, trying to lose some weight. You can't lose the second pound till you lose the first pound. Tonight, maybe you're just, you know what, get on fire for God. You want, there's a soul out there you want to reach, and you can't reach the second soul until you reach the first soul. And Shamgar simply started where he was at. Notice what Shamgar was. Shamgar was simply a farmer. Farmers are important, of course, but we know that's where Shamgar started, because we find in verse 31, he slew these 600 Philistines with an ox goad. Who knows what an ox goad is? An ox goad was simply a tool that was used to poke oxen with. That's what farmers used. And Shamgar, a farmer, became the great leader in Israel, but he didn't start being a great leader in Israel. He started as a farmer, and he started where he was at. You want to overcome an obstacle in your life, you simply start where you are at. I often talk to many of my buddies back home and led several of them to the Lord. And a lot of them, we go and conversation leads to yesteryear. And a lot of times, a lot of friends, they simply only want to talk about the old times, the old ways. And the talking, reminiscing about yesteryear is fine. Others, the only thing they want to do is talk about the future, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, and that's fine too. Everyone must have dreams, and everyone must have a vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Yeah. How many are thankful Dr. Mickey Carter had a vision for Landmark Baptist Church? Yeah. Amen. You must have a vision. It's okay to reminisce in the past, but we simply must have the present to do business for our Lord. And Shamgar started where he was at. Amen. I mentioned the banquet on Friday about a kernel of corn. One kernel of corn will end up producing 18,000 kernels of corn. Even bigger than that, they say one kernel of wheat will produce 3 heads of wheat. That 3 heads of wheat will end up producing 1 million kernels of wheat. Amen. But it starts with one. This evening, Shamgar had a dream, but he started where he was at. Tonight, what's your dream? Say, I don't have one, preacher. Let tonight be the night of your dream. Start where you're at. Say, preacher, I want to build the biggest bus route at Landmark Baptist Church. That's a great vision to have. Amen. How many Brother Vercellus have a bus anniversary Sunday this year, Pastor?
Probably 450.
450?
Is that right?
What's that?
508.
508. That ain't too shabby on that one, amen? How many buses did it take there?
Four.
Took 4 buses. How many realize that's a vision come true, amen?
Yeah.
I promise you, he didn't get 508 on anniversary Sunday. It took time for him to build, start where he was at, and build up to 508. Yeah. This evening, say, Pastor, I want to get involved in a ministry at Landmark Baptist Church. Well, you simply start where you are at. So I'd like to have the greatest marriage in the whole world. Well, simply start where you are at. I'm thankful and honored that Pastor asked me to come speak at the banquet Friday, asked me to speak tonight. That was an honor. But I didn't get asked that, and the first time I stepped behind a pulpit was Friday. The first time I stepped behind a pulpit to preach was at a Lutheran church in 1994 with a big old white robe on, like a white dress. I walked out this little vestibule, spoke, do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? Yeah. And I'll come back to that in a minute. And when I preached that, I could not have quoted John 3:16. But one day I was driving by the McDonald's in Galion, Ohio, and I looked at people as I was driving by and saw people coming in out of those doors and realized people are dying and going to hell. And I just simply wanted to make a difference for Jesus Christ. And so I decided I wanted some Bible training. Won't get into the testimony, but I ended up at Landmark Baptist College in Haines City, Florida. And I walked onto the campus there and quoted John 3:16. But I was told by my pastor when I came here, you might not understand everything. You will not have arrived when you got there, when you get there, but do what they say. And I was taught there's only one Bible, and that's the King James Bible.
Yeah.
I was taught we're to go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And I did that. And in 2002, God called me then to pastor Heritage Baptist Church in Galion, Ohio. And God's done some amazing things there. And I've seen some great things happen. Souls saved by the hundreds and lives changed. But that didn't happen immediately. I simply started where I was at.
Amen.
Overcome the obstacle in your life, relationship-wise, financial-wise, maybe a ministry that God's laying on your heart. Number one, simply start where you're at. Number two, Shamgar, verse 31. Shamgar, getting the key to the victory, overcoming the odds in our life. Shamgar used what he had. And after him was Shamgar again, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. An ox goad. Just one simple tool. But Shamgar started where he was at, and he used what he had. This past winter Friday evening, me and our family, we had family time. You know what's good? You can overcome the odds in life of trying to raise a family right. Family time is of utmost importance. And we had our family night on Friday night. We were gathering around watching my all-time favorite Little House on the Prairie. We had Little House on the Prairie Marathon, and we were just enjoying ourselves, having a good time. Snowy, wintry night like most of them are in Ohio. And just enjoying myself, and just the Lord simply laid something on my heart for me to get busy that night. What I did was I left where I was at, I went and took my King James Bible and took a cell phone. That's all I had. And I started dialing phone numbers. I ended up dialing the phone number of one lady named Angela Anderson. I dialed up Angela. I said, "Angela, how you doing? I'm Pastor Rodney Nubbett, pastor of Heritage Baptist Church in Galleon, Ohio. If you died right now, do you know for sure you go to heaven?" And most of the time when I say that, on the other end I get a click on the other end. But that night I didn't. Angela's said, "Oh, how you doing?" I said, "Great." And again, if you died, you know for sure you go to heaven. She says, "No, I don't know that. Can I tell you how you can know?" And she says, "You sure can." And I went through the plan of salvation, the Romans Road, that Friday night. Angela Anderson bowed her head and asked Jesus Christ to be her Savior. She's now a child of God, part of Heritage Baptist Church. And what did I use that cold, snowy, wintry night? I simply used the tool I had. I used my cell phone and a King James Bible. If you have the Word of God, that is really all that you need. Overcoming the obstacles in your life. Number one, start where you're at. And number two, use what you have. Now, one of my all-time favorite shows, Little House on the Prairie, one of my favorite movies is Rocky. How many of you have ever watched a Rocky movie before? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven Rockies. I love Rocky and Rocky Balboa. I don't know if my son is in here, Brock. If Brock's in here or not. But anyway, when I was my last year here at Landmark, my wife was pregnant, and I always wanted a big, tough name for my son. And I had two choices, and I had it down to Brock or Rocky. Brock or Rocky. I wanted a tough name, you know, tough, tough, manly name, unlike Jeff or something like that. I wanted Rocky or Brock. And so I said to the baseball team, I said, "Guys, we have two choices here. I always wanted my son to be called Brock, but I wanted a manly, tough name as well. And I love Rocky. And you guys have the choice in the matter. You can vote for Brock or Rocky, and whatever you vote, that's what his name is going to be." And so, sure enough, Andrew Fye spoke up. Andrew says, "You can't do it to him, preacher. You can't give him Rocky." And I says, "You've influenced everybody else, Andrew. It's your choice." And so what they did, they voted for Brock. I also always liked the middle name of Lee. That was my name. That was my dad's middle name, and that was my granddad's middle name, Lee. But I couldn't do it to him either. Brock and Lee didn't go together. So I let my junior high Bible class decide his middle name. Now we have Brock Cameron. We have Brock Cameron with us. But Rocky, my point tonight is getting to this, is use what you have. And Rocky Balboa, and Rocky number one, he was training to be the heavyweight champion of the world. But to get to that point, he didn't have a lot of money and fancy equipment and this and that to do anything. But what did he do? He used a big thing of meat hanging in a meat locker to train with. How many remember that famous Godly classic scene? Yeah. And then he trained running up the steps at the courthouse and Philadelphia, Rocky Balboa. He trained hard and became the heavyweight champion of the world using what he had. Of course, he retired after Rocky I was over, and he retired after Rocky II, and after Rocky III, he retired again. And then Rocky IV, he was in retirement. And then his buddy, what's his name was? Apollo Creed. Thank you, Brother Pounce. Famous scholar of the Bible right there. Apollo Creed, he got knocked out and killed by the Russians. Name?
Dragov.
Dragov, right there. Yeah. He was killed. And that infuriated Rocky. So what did Rocky end up doing? He went to train again. And he used what he had. Rocky Balboa trained in a barn, using running in snow and using hay in the hayloft to do sit-ups and get cut and big and strong and all that. Rocky Balboa trained using what he had and walked out, fought Dragoff, and became the heavyweight champion of the world. In the background was playing Living in America, and the Americans went crazy. Rocky Balboa used what he had to overcome the odds and became the heavyweight champion of the world, defeat the Russian that no one could defeat. You may have a Russian thing in your life. You may have an enemy in your life. It may be the mother-in-law. It may be a wrong relationship with a friend. It may be a marital difficulty, financial struggles, financial hardships, whatever it may be. Simply, number one, start where you're at. Secondly, use what you have. Shamgar hears the Philistines. They've been defeating his Israelites. And nobody does anything about it. And all Shamgar had was an ox goad. Tonight you say, "Preacher, I may not be real talented. I may not be smart enough. I may not be wealthy enough. But you can use what you have." Moses, the only thing he had was a stick. A little shepherd boy for 40 years had a stick. God turned that stick into a snake and used that stick to part the Red Sea. If you have God on your side, you have everything, and nothing is impossible with God. David had the little slingshot. That's all he had, a slingshot. But now, throughout these thousands of years, we've been hearing the story of David and Goliath from one slingshot. Shamgar started where he was at as a farmer and became the great leader in Israel. Shamgar used what he had. All he had was an ox goad. If you have Christ as your Savior, you have a King James Bible with you. That's all that you really need. Yeah. Lastly, Shamgar simply did what he could. Shamgar did what he could. I mentioned Friday night, the ministry can be hard and it can be rough. And the pastor a lot of times has to get up and give that smile when the smile ain't coming up on the inside. The ministry is not always chocolate drops and testimonies, I said on Friday. I learned that from Dr. Carter. But you simply must do what you can. Sarah Gilding's dad, Brother King Gilding, gave me a saying here of late. I've used it so often in my ministry, and things go rough. He worked at GM, retired after 30 years, and when he was hard at work at GM, he said, they tell him this. They'd say, do your best and ship the rest. And really, that's what I'm doing as pastor of Heritage Baptist Church, doing the best I can. Amen. I was with Brother Al Stone. I mentioned on Friday, we just had a tremendous teen retreat this past 2 days, this past Thursday and Friday. 150 teenagers gathered around. We have 8 teenagers bow their heads, receive Christ as their Savior. Amen. Many others made some great decisions for the Lord. We went out for some fellowship with Brother Stone afterwards, and he said he just got done reading the book that kind of revolutionized his ministry. He said he envisioned a pastor church of 1,000 and doing some great things for God, and he has. But he says he's running about 300. And when things get tough, he goes back to that book from a former baseball player, Christian man, Oral Hershiser. He said he learned this from him. He says that what changed his ministry was when Oral Hershiser said, simply do the best you can with the ability God has given you and let the chips fall where they may. Simply do what you can. Shamgar did that. This is not real practical. 600 enemies coming at you at one time, and Shamgar defeated them with an ox goad, but not at one time. He got two here and about three here and two here, and enemies come at you and difficulties come. And how many realized through the years when Satan has one problem coming against you, he's not just going to stop with one? Yeah. Last year when my health hit rock bottom, I thought I was about a dead man. You know, I kind of almost sensed that Satan would have let up on me, that he would kind of back off some. But he doesn't do that with Satan. It's full speed ahead. But God brought me through it. Simply one day at a time. Shamgar defeated 600 enemies with an ox goad. He'd never let his enemies define him. As God's people, we can't do that. Yeah. We can't let an enemy define us. By the way, they're out there. The more you do for Jesus Christ, the more the enemies will come after you. Yeah. And Shamgar defeated them, simply one enemy at a time. You got someone out there that's trying to badmouth your name, trying to put you down, trying to stab you in the back, trying to make you look bad, and they'll be out there. And the more you do for Jesus Christ, the more that they will be at you. You must simply defeat them one at a time. How do you win a championship game? One game at a time. And not let people and circumstances define who you are. Shamgar has a great secret. A great secret to getting us to overcome the odds, the obstacles in our life. And the secret is to the name of Shamgar. And that is simply this: Shamgar means one who listens to God. That is the one we must listen to. One who listens to God. Say, what's the key to having the greatest marriage in the whole world? It's listening to God. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that's the key to the marriage. It's simply being filled, husband, with the Holy Spirit of God. It's wife, it's you too, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It's wife, submitting yourselves to your own husbands. Now, word submission is still in your King James Bible, amen? It's husbands loving your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That is the key. Listen to what God says about marriage. What's the key to raising children right? It's Proverbs 22:6. Train up your children the way you should go. When they're old, they will not depart from it. Raise them in the house of God from the nursery on up. They get in the youth department. Have them in every youth activity there could possibly be at. That is the key to obeying the Word of God and listening to Him. Just before I left, I see Brother Ogden sitting right there. I said, Brother Ogden, what is your key to raising your children? He asked five. I don't know if anything came along since I was gone. Five still. Five. Brother Ogden, what was your key? You can say what you want about Brother Ogden. You can say a lot. But I said, what is your key? Because you have been 5 for 5. There's no doubt about that. 5 for 5. I was a little worried about Nathan there for a little bit, but Nathan came out on top side. Nathan definitely outkicked his coverage with his wife right there for that. Definitely. I'm proud and glad for him. I said, but Brother Ogden, what's your key? What is your key to getting your children to turn out like every mom and every dad wants? He said, the key is the Word of God. Getting the Word of God into their heart to get it soft. Now, see, it's one thing coming to church. It's one thing knowing the Bible. It's another thing doing what it says. And Shamgar says, it's one who listens to God. What's the key to overcoming the financial obstacles in your life? It's what God says. It's simply, it's the law of financial responsibility, giving your tithes and offerings to God's local storehouse. That is the key to financial responsibility. What's the key to dressing right? It's simply doing what the Word of God says to do. What's the key to serving God? It's getting involved in your local storehouse. Romans 12 and verse number 1. Our reasonable service. We all should have a service for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Everything we do in our lives, whether it's being a husband, a wife, a mom, a dad, a son, a Christian school teacher, a missionary, a preacher, whatever your vocation is in life, the key is this: listening to the Word of God. Whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Giving God glory with our lives. Conversation on the way to church, at church, on the way to home from church. Is it giving God glory? How are you raising your children? Are you making them dress right? Go to their youth activities, listen in church. It's giving God glory with everything you do. With everything. Shamgar, and I'll be done right here, simply started where he was at. That's the key to overcoming the difficulties, the obstacles in your life, is starting where you are at. He simply used what he had, and he did all he could. My hope and prayer is there's a mom and dad that will allow this message, not some heartache that's coming down the road. Let this message be what is instrumental in getting your children on fire for Jesus Christ. It does start with mom and dad. It's more what we do than what we say. Shamgar, one who listens to God. There's a gentleman in our church. His name is Dave Jeffries. Dave was one of those that godly parents. His dad was my treasure. His dad went to be with the Lord, died of cancer last year. Dave's dad, Dave Sr., had Dave Jr. in a Christian school. He was in church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night in an independent, fundamental King James Bible-believing church. Every time the doors were open, Dave was there. Dave, even he traveled around with some of the greatest preachers in the world. He traveled around with Oliver Areza and Randy Taylor and the late Joe Boyd. He traveled around with them all. And he knew the walk, he knew the talk, but he got on his own. He got away from the Lord. His dad would pray for him day after day. Often, almost every service, his dad was at the altar. His dad would tell me what he's praying for. Get a son back in right fellowship with God. And Dave even told me, Dave Sr., he says, if it even takes my life, that's what I want. And sure enough, Dave had cancer. A few short months later, Dave passed away. Dave Jr. never got in the church yet. That, for some reason, didn't get his attention yet. Until a marriage falls apart, his family disintegrates in front of him. He simply had no other place to turn. My heart was going out for him. I knew the turmoil that was running through his heart and mind. I just felt impressed of the Lord just to short time ago, one Tuesday night, to go visit Dave. And I knocked on his door, See, I guess it's important to be filled with that Holy Spirit of God because He will talk to you. And the Lord just told me, go visit Dave. And I knocked on Dave's door that night. And his mom let me in. I walked back to Dave and said, Dave, how you doing? See, I did not know until actually just a few days ago, that very night, according to Dave's testimony, Dave took some pills to take his own life and said, Lord, if I wake up in the morning, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. I did not know that at the time. Well, obviously Dave did wake up the next morning. He came to church that next night, that Wednesday night, hasn't missed a service since. Dave's rededicated his life, joined our church, wants to get involved with our youth group, some of the greatest teenagers in the whole world, is involved and gave us testimony / preached at our youth conference last week. On the way back, or way down here, this few days ago, got a phone call and talked to Dave for about an hour on the way here. And a young man that he's been influencing. Wednesday night when I was gone, Brother Stephen Mills preached for me. First time behind my pulpit, he preached. And that young man, the Dave Jeffries Jr., has been influencing, bowed his head at invitation time Wednesday night and received Christ as personal Savior.
Amen.
What do you call that? You call that a messed up life in the past, but you don't focus on the past. Paul says, forget those things which are behind. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Dave Jeffries Jr. simply started over and started where he was at. He used what he had and did what he could for Jesus Christ. My heart's been heavy of late again. Satan's been after me for some time in a major, major way. About 3 weeks ago, again, I lost my grandfather. My grandfather's been instrumental in many things in my life. Instrumental in me, in fact, coming to Landmark Baptist College. He's the one that brought me here to look at the school. He's the one that's influenced me as much as probably any male figure in my life. Maybe not as much for the Lord, but in other areas of my life. We were very, very close, and he was a big, strong man. You can tell where I get my physique and everything from, obviously. He's a big, strong man, and godly man, and knew what he believed, and he was a German, and he was stubborn in his ways, as Germans can be. 85 years at one church. Good Hope Lutheran Church, Bucyrus, Ohio. First time I heard my grandfather tell me he's proud of me was when I was leaving from preaching a sermon, taking off my white robe. He said, I'm proud of you. Well, my grandfather, after 85 years, the Lord just kind of working on his heart the last year or two, he left the Lutheran Church. Can you imagine letting the influence of a grandson on a grandfather's life? For the last year he was at that church, he was teaching catechism class using Sword of the Lord pamphlets, teaching Baptist doctrine in a Lutheran church. Glory to God on that one, amen?
Amen.
The only Lutheran probably teacher in the whole world teaching Baptist doctrine, but that was my grandfather, and that is what he was doing. He knew what he believed, and finally, as so many other churches that have gone liberal, enough was enough. And after 85 years, he left the Lutheran church to come to mine. Came to my church. I had the privilege of being my grandfather's pastor the last 2 years. About 6 weeks ago or so, he simply came down with a thing of gout. Little thing of gout. It can be painful, but not life-threatening or anything. For the most part, the doctors gave him some medicine. Gave him some medicine, and of course they didn't know that, but his body was allergic to it. And it pretty much just shut his kidneys down. They tried feverishly to do thing after thing to get it going, but it didn't. And the last little bit of time, we knew that it was it. A couple Sunday mornings ago, I got a call. I said, get ready to step behind the pulpit. I got a call and says, if you want to talk to your grandfather alive, you need to come right now. And I did that and went up to the hospital room, went to his bed, and all the family was gathered around. And the last things my grandfather said that made sense was simply, I want Rodney. He said that about 3 or 4 or 5 times. And he tried to get out what he wanted to say, but that was about it. He was maybe going to chew me out. I don't know what he really was going to say or anything. I don't know. But it meant the world to me. That's what he wanted. He had a funeral service lined up, everything exactly like he wanted it. And he wanted me to preach it. And that was in the ministry as being a pastor was by far the hardest thing I ever had to do. But I did it. The morning came. The service was there at the Lutheran church because that's where my grandma goes and she wanted it there. And it came time to walk on out. Lutheran preacher says, here's your white robe. I says, oh, that's okay. I'm good. I'm good to go on that. I'm fine. And so I'm going to lead my family on out, though, and I did that. Led my family out. They sat down, and I went behind the pulpit, up the steps of the vestibule, and stepped behind that pulpit there and preached the sermon on one of God's mighty men. And that was my grandfather, one of God's mighty men. And I got to preach that, and I finished up my sermon that morning, saying, my grandfather told me he was proud of me for the very first time about 16 or 17 years ago when I preached from this very pulpit on, do you know for sure if you died that you'd go to heaven? And right now I'd like to tell you that same thing. Right now, do you know for sure if you died you go to heaven? I got to give the gospel message that all are sinners, that the penalty for sin is death and hell, that Jesus Christ loved us and died for us. And all you have to do is call upon him to come in your heart and be your Savior. That morning, at least 2 or 3 people bowed their head and received Christ as their personal Savior. And my grandfather is in heaven now. Watch that with glee and joy on his heart. He watched simply a grandson that may not be the smartest, most eloquent, certainly not the richest in the whole world, but simply doing all he can for his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and overcoming the odds, the same odds that Shamgar had. Right? Simply started where he was at, used what I had, and did all I could. You want to overcome the odds in your life, marital-wise, family-wise, financial-wise, relationship-wise? Let tonight be that kickstart for the rest of your life. Right now, Shamgar, one who listens to God. Start right now where you're at. Use what you have and do all you can. Let's stand quietly, please.